Hello, everyone. I'm Sam Simon.
And I'm Robert Dwyer.
And this is the Milenomics Square podcast, no annual fee edition.
Well, hello, everybody. Here we are today with a very special edition of a year-end Milenomics Square podcast in our no annual fee edition. We thought it'd be fun to do just kind of an informal review of the predictions that we made for 2018 back in January of 2018. So, Sam, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Robert. Happy New Year or early New Year. How about yourself? How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I thought it'd be fun. I called it my hopes and fears for the year. I didn't really want to go so far as to make any bold predictions, but I don't know. I think I batted about 300 last year, and that might be generously scoring things, but that's not so bad in this game, right? I mean, who knows? We don't have any inside relationships with any credit card companies or things like that, so that's not too bad. Did you have a look back at your predictions and see how you did on them?
I did. I didn't calculate out a score, but you know, I could make an argument for many of them being correct in some way, at least. So let's just, I think, get into some of our successes and our failures here.
All right.
On our predictions. And you want to go first?
Sure, I'd be happy to. All right, let's see. Prediction number one. My hope, I called it hopes and fears, so I'm going to do it in that format. My hope was that we'd see more online gift card retailers. And my fear was that we'd have crackdowns on gift card reselling. And, you know, while we didn't see an uptick in the number of online gift card retailers, you know, there wasn't a new giftcards.com, I saw a lot of online gift card sales from big box retailers, you know, Costco and BJ's and Walmart and things like that. So I sense that maybe in a gift card, the opportunity to buy gift cards online at a discount from mainstream retailers is increasing. On my fear side, I didn't see crackdowns on gift card reselling. And what I mean by that is like some major malfunction would go wrong that would majorly disrupt the gift card reselling industry. And that really didn't happen. Unfortunately, though, a major enabler in this space, the plastic merchant, folded. And that a lot of people caught holding the bag on gift cards and lost a lot of money with that. So that was really unfortunate. And, you know, a cautionary word that a lot of things that we do in this game are not free of risk. And so, yeah, gift card reselling continues to be a way of earning points and miles, and in some cases without leaving the house. But not a huge change in the year. I say the space is pretty similar to the way it was last year.
I like your format maybe better than mine in that you have it kind of what's the good and what's the bad for each of these items. So I don't have that. I just have a bold prediction here. So my number one was an overall strong economy will be awful for traditional miles and better still for bank points. I won't even attempt to discuss the strength of the economy, especially right now, but let's just move on to traditional miles versus bank points. Has it been an awful year for traditional miles? I'm going to judge that by how few of them I redeemed this year compared to years past. I redeemed extremely few traditional miles. These would be American Airlines, United, Delta, even, you know, partner miles that we have in our balances. And I did get rid of a ton of bank points. Robert, how about yourself? Bank points or traditional airline miles for 2018?
I'm using bank points for almost everything domestic, and by domestic, I would mean everything that isn't like an international premium cabin. And once in a while, things pop up for domestic, like I booked flights out to Los Angeles using AA miles. But overall, I was listening to this Save Rusty Observation Deck podcast today, and they were talking about basic economy and award space and what that would mean and secret hidden city flying and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know, I just don't participate with miles in the same way these days, I don't think. It's bank points for everything domestically. And when I want to search for something internationally, it's usually for one trip a year. I just don't have that many opportunities to take international trips. So, yeah, and it's been a continued push for bank points for me. It's just what works for me. We have a lot of trips we want to take domestically, and bank points work great for that.
Yeah, yeah. One little area I will say I missed on this was that I said that, you know, number one, flight prices would stay low and that award space with miles would be tight on a lot of routes. And I think we saw an increase in award space this year. I think this was a good year for award space, at least domestically. So that was one that I missed, I would say. that leads us perfectly to our next point on your side, Robert. Yes.
Yeah, my next prediction actually was that Domestic Saver award availability would improve. And my fear was that AA or United would adopt a fixed value award chart, meaning like miles are just worth a penny a point or something like that. I really think that's the way that this stuff is going. I mean, you look at Delta's award chart, it's very much like that. It's very hard to get outsized value out of a Delta mile, especially domestically. But we didn't see AA or UA adopt a fixed value award chart. But I did sense a little bit of softening in AA's domestic saver level availability. I was able to book flights and at peak vacation times for four people at saver level across the country in first class. So that was a sign to me. And not only for that one flight, you know, it's not all about me, but just when I was looking at the calendar, scanning across months, I was seeing, you know, green, a lot of green. And I think that's a big improvement for AA. So that's good to see, seeing as they're one of the nation's biggest carriers. What do you think? Did you see increased space domestically or internationally for saver level using traditional miles at all?
I did. You know, I also did. I would point to the bookings that I did to Hawaii with partner miles. So either with British Airways or with Singapore, those only have access to that low level availability. And so being able to actually book with those miles is a sign of an increase in low level availability on routes that traditionally had been very tight. LA to Hawaii was almost laughably bad in 2017 for low level. Maybe you could book with American Airlines at a not low level rate, but it definitely seemed better. So I'll give you that one, Robert. I had said that award space would be tight. I was on the fear side of yours, and it looks like your hope came true, at least partially for us. I'll just move on to this next one. I think we're going to talk a lot about it just personally, because solid win. I'm going to say solid win. Competition for payment processing will heat up and we will be the beneficiaries. And the overall thing here is the idea of these mobile wallets and different kinds of mobile pay type promotions. We had seen some of these promotions in 2017, and I thought that these were going to heat up in 2018, and I think that they really did. We saw Q1 for Chase Freedom having mobile wallets. That was already known at the time that I wrote my predictions, but Chase went on to add Chase Pay in the majority of the quarters for the year, and we saw a lot of promotions for that, and we talk about that actually a lot with kind of hilarious results on our subscriber podcast. I think Robert and I went in heavier on Chase Pay than maybe anyone else in the country this year. But I think that...
And we completed one transaction between the two of us.
I know. We bought phones. I mean, we really went... Robert was at gas stations, you know...
For days.
Air pumps. Yes, for days. So would you agree that competition heated up and that we were the beneficiaries of some promotions?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think this was the, I think, we'll, and we'll see a continuing trend here going into 2019. Make no mistake about it. These digital wallets are not for our benefit. They're for the bank's benefit, right? They're trying to create their own commerce systems. They're trying to tighten up security through these channels. And in the meantime, when you're an early adopter of them, they're so brutal to use that they need to incent you to do it. So, if you can get over the hurdle of the nuisance of these things, it can be lucrative in the near term. So I'll give you this one. Absolutely. Plus one for columnists in 2018. I think we'll see a continuation of it in 2019. And the thing for us to do as savvy consumers is become familiar with how to use them so that we profit from the pain that we have to endure to make transactions through these.
Yeah. And if you haven't listened to some of our hijinks with these, if we didn't have the podcast, we probably wouldn't do as much as we did with Chase Pay specifically. But it's almost funny now looking back on the last few months.
Everything hurts. And
what do they say? Yeah, comedy is tragedy plus time, right? Well, so I think there's enough time now it's funny.
Time heals all wounds.
All right, Robert, hit us with another one here.
All right. My next prediction. After a lukewarm reception to World of Hyatt, Hyatt will offer a status challenge that's relatively easy to achieve. My fear was that Hyatt would devalue their chart and or make ultimate reward transfers worse than a one-to-one ratio. I'm going to give myself a partial correct on this. Both you and I have globalist status, and we got it in kind of a roundabout way that we haven't talked about, but I think it roughly equates to something that Hyatt calls, well, I don't know if they call it, but it's being called globalist light, which is a way to qualify for Hyatt globalist status, but you don't get the suite upgrade awards. Both of us bumbled into that, and that has been nice. Not that we've used it a ton, but I really do think that Hyatt is the best hotel chain in terms of how they recognize their top elites. Not that we are loyal to them, but when you do have it, it turns into some very nice stays. On the fear side, they didn't really devalue their chart, but they did introduce a 40,000 point category. That's for the small luxury hotel collection, and they've jammed a few hotels that are bad values actually into that category. And I have to think that over time that they're going to put more of their top hotels into that category. But thankfully, they remained a one-to-one Chase Ultimate Reward transfer partner, and they haven't really meaningfully tampered with their chart, which remains, I think, one of the best deals in the points and miles space. So I'll call this a partial correct with my prediction here.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I think that the earning of Chase Ultimate Rewards and then the one-to-one transfer to Hyatt cannot be matched by any other combination in points and miles right now. So I'm glad that they didn't ruin any of that this past year. Moving on, I had a very general prediction here that I then put a fine tip on. I'm going to try and argue it as not a miss, but it probably is clearly a miss. The general prediction was that rising oil prices would push airline tickets up in cost. And I mentioned earlier in this very podcast that we're on right now that I thought that prices had trended upward for flights. And that's mostly because you've seen this introduction of this lower economy tier, and then you know, you're able to push the price of a standard economy ticket up. I had said that this would be tied to rising oil prices and then used the $90 per barrel number, which was a 50% increase over the price of oil that we started the year at. And oil crashed about a month ago, about a few weeks ago. And it's at about $45 a barrel now. So we are not commodities or futures traders. And if we were, we would be terrible at it. Total miss. But I think that airline tickets have gone up. Have you noticed a trend in airline ticket prices, Robert?
In spite of the oil price going down? I don't know.
In spite of the crash of the oil, which I did not see coming.
It's hard to say. How many airline tickets do I buy in a year? And they're very, very specific things, and they change every year. Have airline ticket prices go up? I don't know. We would need to do some more research, and that's probably a hard thing to peg. But do you think we could do some research and see whether the price of airline tickets have gone up? We could give you some partial credit here, even if you got the specific price of the crude oil wrong.
I know. I would like the partial credit, so I will find a source that backs me up that shows the price of tickets has gone up, and we'll include it in the show.
From a very specific Google search, looking for a chart that shows that the airline ticket prices have gone up in 2018.
Exactly.
All right, I'll hit the next one. Prediction, JetBlue will improve Mosaic, their elite program, maybe with the ability to upgrade to Mint with points, complimentary even more room. My fear was that they introduce a new top tier that's prohibitively difficult to attain. This is a total miss. There was no movement on JetBlue's loyalty program whatsoever. So moving right along, 0 points for that one.
Adding on to our discussion about award availability and low-level availability, I had a prediction that we would see the end of 25,000 points for low-level domestic flights this year. Complete miss. Besides Delta doing Delta, American Airlines and United did not change their low level of cost. So let's just move right along.
All right. Hope, a new option will appear to pay real bills online with Visa gift cards with low fees. And my fear was that plastic would go from bad to worse and fold. I was going pretty strong on the hope there, but then predicting plastic's demise was ironic because plastic did exactly what I hoped they would do. And even better if you think about it, right? So plastic did not go from bad to worse, but they had so many promos over the years for the ability to liquidate MasterCard gift cards by paying real bills, in some cases not so real bills, if we're being honest with each other. And this worked incredibly well. They had a promo in the middle of the year for MasterPass, fee-free payments with MasterPass. They had a promotion in October, which effectively knocked the fees down to 1.25%. And they even had a promotion late in the year for businesses where it knocked the fee down for 1.25%. So a tremendous year for Plastiq in terms of its ability to help us earn points and miles. I hope for many more in 2019 from them. And I'll give myself plus one for this, even though I predicted that or I had a fear that Plastiq would go. Hey, what do you think, Sam? I get full credit on this one?
I will give you full credit, Robert, because you dragged me into Plastiq with you. Kicking and screaming at first and then enjoying it, actually sitting at home and not having to drive around as much. So I will definitely give you that one. So I've got a good one here, and I think we could even do a whole show on this, but we don't have a lot of time. This is the no annual fee edition here. Credit card sign-up bonuses will trend upward. So I was very bullish on credit card sign-up bonuses this past year, and I'm going to say they came through. I think that last year was a phenomenal year. 2018 was a phenomenal year for credit card signup bonuses. For one reason and one reason only, the American Express universal referral system that allows you to refer for pretty much any American Express card and get points yourself. So that was huge. Robert, you have a great post about this and how to use it and how to benefit from it. In general, we saw an increase in that CNB Crystal Infinite card this year. We've seen these Hilton Aspire cards with just an unbelievable bonus. And these bonuses were up for 2018. And I will give myself credit for it. Maybe they read the blog. Am I going too far?
I absolutely give you full credit for this one. And the data points that I think are really good comparisons, you know, like if you're citing like, you know, Hilton or Delta, you know, maybe they're just inflating the whole system. They're giving you more points because it costs more points to stay at their hotels, to fly on their airplanes.
That's a good point.
But if you look at the Capital One or the Barclays cards, right? Capital One used to be a 50,000 card. Now it's a 75,000 point sign-up bonus. And that's worth $750 worth of travel, period. And look at Barclays. They followed suit with them and they bumped their bonus from 50 to 60 to 70,000. So those things are very easy to peg and look at year over year. Yeah, absolutely. Even though the economy has been relatively good the past couple, 3 years, the credit card sign-up bonuses are at an all-time high, I would say. I have not seen any retraction in this area. So thankfully for this being a hobby that we play, I'm going to give you absolutely full credit for this one. Well done.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, Robert, go ahead on your next one.
All right. Citibank will accidentally release a Citi AA exec card with a 75,000 point offer with no 24-month language. My fear was that they cracked down in a nasty way after realizing the error with collateral damage. No such luck here. This one did not materialize, and AA lounges are not something I have visited. The only glimmer of hope here is that they continue to send out mailers to your address that have the ability to sign up for their cards, personal or business, if you have a targeted promo code that comes with those offers, and you can even redirect them and use them for somebody else. Maybe if you get some of these delivered to your house or you have friends with these, you can often reuse them. So that's the only glimmer of hope on Citibank's 24-month policy that prohibits you from getting a personal AA card or a business AA card within 24 months of a prior application or account closing. So I get no points for this one, but there still is hope alive in the ability to generate AA miles through Citibank signups.
Can we call it a tie if the fear doesn't happen as well? I mean, I think some of your fears were seriously possible to happen. And if they had occurred, it would have been bad. And so not occurring is actually a great thing.
I'll have to think about that as I craft my 2019 predictions, yeah. You know, ways to say things that they're certain to be almost, yeah. Almost
it's funny
true.
Too, because your predictions remind me a lot of that old Conan O'Brien bit in the year 2000, where, you know, he'll say something and then immediately walk it back with the opposite. So I liked your hopes and fears. The way you did it, I liked it because it was that bookend type thing. And I'm a big fan of that. So I've got a Citi prediction here, which was that the Citi double cash would devalue. I'm a big fan of this card, and I just thought that it was too good to keep in its current format. And a reader actually sent me some research that was done on this card showing that it's got very low profitability compared to all other cards. And it's because the breakage on it is almost non-existent. You pay your bill, you get 2% back. It's dead simple, and they're paying you 2% for everything that you buy, which doesn't sound great. But if you want to check the calculator that we put up a few months back to compare some of the highest end fee credit cards against this card, and use your actual real spending, you'll see that it's difficult if you're not a very good optimizing transactor to beat this card. So my prediction was completely wrong. I know that there had been some grumblings that the card was devaluing a few of the benefits that it had. But the real thing that I want is that 2%, and I don't want that to change. And so it did not change. I'll call myself happily wrong on this one. Robert, do you have this card?
I do not. But that research that you talked about there was very interesting. And I think it's almost like going into a casino. And if you're a really good player, there's certain games that you could play that give you the house less of an advantage, let's say, than they do in other games, right? So you've got to be pretty good to beat the City Double Cash card. I know it's one that we've recommended a lot here on the show. And I really think in terms of talking to family and friends about this, you know, especially over the holidays here, a lot of people have been, angered by the bank that they have credit cards with, and they're really looking for simplicity. And I think this card is the king of simplicity. But I can understand why it would be low margin for them. There's no opportunity for breakage. If they put a $100 annual fee on it, they would have people that were just paying that fee, and that would make the card more profitable for them. But you know, maybe its allure is in its straightforwardness, and if that's what you're looking for, it's definitely, I think, the card to check out.
Yeah, there were some small devaluations that I could take credit for, but I can't. I mean, I just can't. So a total miss and a happy miss. Any more City predictions on your side, Rob?
I do have another one here. Wouldn't you know it? I said that City will reinvigorate their thank you point credit card lineup after realizing they don't need to try so hard to have success. My fear was that they'd keep sending me junk offers for promotional interest rate balance transfers. Boy, you know, I'll give myself some credit for that, because those things keep coming. I mean, they're coming through the mail slot. They're coming through email. They think that interest rates are just like the thing that we all care about. What has gone on with City's thank you point? It's just limping along in 2018. The only glimmer of hope is that prestige card coming out here in early 2019. We'll see what that entails. I think we have talked about and we know a lot of the details. The key question is, what is the sign-up bonus for that card? It's a hard program to get excited about, because even if I've had some success with it, it's from things I did 3 to 4 years ago in terms of getting cards. They used to be much more amenable to getting the sign-up bonus for multiple cards within the family, getting the sign-up bonus for a card again more frequently. But now you can't get a thank you card sign-up bonus within 24 months of an open or close of a product, or even a product change, I think, at this point. So all that said, I think a lot of people are going to be well positioned for the prestige bonus when it comes out, but the ability to commingle within the thank you point family is difficult. It's going to take some people a while to build up that stable. I think they could really go back to the drawing board and think about their strategy overall. I think they either need to be just like Chase or come up with something new. And I think that something new would be a combination of what we see from Chase and from Amex. They could really put something nice together. They're a big enough bank to do it. City, give us a call if you want some help on designing a good program that's profitable for you and for customers. But I'm going to call this one a miss, other than the promotional offers. What do you think of City? Thank you. And are you looking forward to that prestige card coming out in early 2019?
Anew. it's one of those weird programs where it's either going to be, like you say, reinvigorated into something amazing and great, or I don't know. It's such a weird program. The partners that you can transfer to are not great. They're not getting better. The whole commingling is granted, it's better than, like, let's say, American Express membership reward points, but I believe there's an expiration on commingled points. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, there's all kinds of restrictions. There's a cap of 100,000, and they expire after some time after doing it. And it's unclear which points are being drawn down from when you even commingle with on your side and then transfer to a spouse.
Right. You have to specifically say, I want to use these points. I mean, there's a lot of great parts about the City Thank You program. They're the only program right now that you can book Disney with, for example. But they've got to do something next year, 2019. So I think that we should just move along. We'll probably have to cover it more on a future episode. Solid miss and another happy one for me. At least one major gift card issuer will start to issue gift cards without PINs. So I thought that this would be the year when someone decides to say, no more. We're not going to do this anymore. You cannot use these products as debit cards. And I got it wrong, happily, because most of what we do would only exist because of PINs. So Do I think it'll happen next year? I hope not. And let's just, that's all I want to say on the no annual fee edition of this podcast.
All right. We'll keep an eye on that one. My next prediction is that Amex will relent on their once per lifetime stance on some co-branded cards. My fear was that their reward abuse team would get even more aggressive on garden variety manufactured spend on the Old Blue Cash Card, for example, and they'll abandon offers altogether. Whew, well, a lot to talk about here. Yes, Amex has not relented on their once per lifetime stance. That remains in place. You can only get the sign-up bonus on an Amex card once per lifetime, unless they send you a targeted offer. They can send these to you. They can pop up in your Amex account. I said at one point this year, Sam, that no website for a bank is more fun to log into than Amex. You never know what you're going to find there. You can get all kinds of cool things. So like 60,000 points here, sign up for this, that, there. So many of our applications this year, I had it in my summary, link, were things where I was getting the sign-up bonus for a card that I've had before from them only a couple of years ago. So although they haven't formally relented on it globally, they were also giving people who held cards the ability to refer people for cards without lifetime language, as if that was some qualification that would make sense. Like,
but only two people, right?
Yeah, of course. It's just bizarre. Yeah. Just bizarre.
I'll give you this one. I think it's a huge win. I know you're kind of saying that it didn't happen, but I think it happened in their own American Express kind of way. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, thank you for your generosity. Has the reward abuse team gotten more aggressive on garden variety and manufactured spend? I've heard some data points of them really clamping down on people meeting the minimum spend requirement on cards at places that were notorious for manufactured spend, like Simon Mall, for example. So there's a little bit of tightening there. But overall, we haven't seen kind of widespread, I think, shutdowns or them not rewarding, spend at certain places. A little bit, though. And then the final point here, that they'll abandon other Amex offers altogether. Well, I've abandoned them altogether. There was a major change here. And that was that you can't get an Amex offer more than once per social security number, whereas previously it used to be once per card. And you could, in some cases, some Amex cards allow you to add up to 100 authorized users, and you could get the offer on all those cards. And, just there was a lot of abuse going on in the program. They've cut that down. I can't say that I've seen the offers get any better, but hopefully with some time for the program to be analyzed in terms of its profitability. Chase is coming out with offers too. And you know what? They're no better than Amex's. In fact, they're pretty terrible. So, Amex offers have gotten hardly worth paying attention to. Once in a while, you see some that are good. But overall, I think we abandoned Amex offers. They haven't quite yet. We'll monitor this space for 2019 and see how it goes. But I'm going to give myself a win for this one. I think this all came to fruition.
I agree, Robert. Yeah, it was a solid win on both sides for you, the hope and the fear. Okay, next up for me, interest rates on savings will continue upward. The true Apple-rama will return in 2018 or early 2019. Interest rates have continued trending upward. We're now into the mid 2.5s for legitimate savings accounts. And so that's had a whole host of complications to the game we play. We talked about this a lot on the subscriber edition of the podcast, that now when we're paying bills far out 6 months, 8 months, 12 months, we need to take into consideration the fact that we're tying up that money at 0% interest. And then on the other side of that, the money that we're able to bring in transactionally, we can extract some interest from as well now. And that's the beginning of that Apple-rama. So I will say that this was an easy prediction for me because interest rates had been going up for years. But it's led to some complications in the game. And it's something that you need to seriously consider moving forward as these rates continue to rise. So I'm optimistic we might see a real Apple-rama type situation where you can get 0% credit cards and put the money into CDs and generate thousands of dollars off of just that, but it hasn't happened yet. So that part of it was a slight miss, although I left that early 2019. It still could happen here.
I'll give you a win on this one. I'm thinking about interest rates for the first time in a long time, and that has informed our discussions here on the podcast in the past few weeks. We're calling an Apple-rama is something that's linked to that is is interesting. I always thought of an apparama. You know, the vernacular in this game is a little unclear where it comes from or how it takes takes legs. But I always thought of an apparama just in terms of applying for a bunch of credit cards on the same day for the antiquated notion that it's going to take a while for your credit bureau reports to be updated with each of those applications. But you're talking about floating money between credit cards before their statement's cut and taking advantage of a gap in the ability to generate a short period of float with a new credit card, right?
Right. Or, for example, those 0% offers that we talk about, Citi, and everyone's sending us all the time. A great example is the American Express Everyday Card or Everyday Preferred Card. They are offering 0% for 15 or 18 months right now on that card. So if you applied for it and you got a generous $20,000 credit line, let's say a $15,000 or $20,000 membership reward spousal referral, you'd pocket the $20,000 membership rewards. You'd have $20,000 credit line that you could somehow dump into a savings account. And at the end of a year or a year and a half, you're looking at somewhere around $500, $600, $700, or $800, depending on how the interest rates shake out in the next year and a half. So that's a card that is just a nothing card for most people. But you know, that specific offer of 0% can turn it into a very valuable sign-up bonus of sorts. So, I mean, there's all kinds of other issues. I mean, if you utilize your credit line at 100%, you're going to have some issues. But it's something to think about adding in the coming year to our arsenal here. We have a lot of toys and a lot of tricks and a lot of techniques that we use. And I think it's going to be one that we're going to want to add moving forward. So I appreciate you giving me credit for it there. Thank you, Robert.
were you around playing the game when the last time interest rates were high? And do you have some experience with this? Because if you were, I think, or anyone else, I think it's going to come back and benefit you. That skill that you had that kind of went became less useful over the past few years with low interest rates.
Well, I wasn't playing the game, but I was following the game at that time. I was very young at that time, but contrary to popular belief. But there were some big names who were going really big at it. And, you know, I will try to dig up some of that somewhere on the Internet Archive or something like that, because that was the stuff that really inspired me in the beginning. I was seeing the volume that these guys were able to do and just the idea of just taking these situations and turning them into an opportunity for profitability. So I think that it's always been in my mind as one of those, like, I wish I was there during that time. I wish I knew what I know now then, or maybe had the opportunity now that I had then. So if it comes back around, I'm going to be ready for it. Yeah, it's a great question, actually, Robert. Yeah, I think you've got two left. I don't have anything left here. So let's just run the table with yours.
Yeah, let me hit these real quick here. My last second to last. Wells Fargo will release a compelling general purpose rewards travel card, since new signups will continue to decline now that they've hopefully stopped signing unknowing customers up for credit cards. My fear was that they'll kick the can down the road like they have been. And boy, did they kick the can down the road. I don't think anything has changed with Wells Fargo in the last year. Capital One was more of a mover and shaker in this area. So I'm giving this a big miss. You know, I think one of the first things I wrote about when I started writing for Mileonomics at the beginning of 2018 was a business platinum card that had a 500-point signup bonus. And wouldn't you know, it's still there. Like, what other bank does that? So not a lot of innovation going on over there at Wells Fargo. So I'm going to give myself zero on this one. What do you think?
Well, I mean, you pretty much nailed it with the fear. So I guess that's a zero. But
oh, there you go.
Yeah, half credit.
All right. My last prediction for the year is that Four Seasons Hotels and or Disney will finally introduce a loyalty program. My fear was actually the same, that they introduced some goofy loyalty program, but neither of them introduced a loyalty program at all. So I'm giving myself zero for this one. The only actionable points and miles news as it relates to either of these companies is that Disney became unbookable with Chase Ultimate Rewards, which is something that I still don't understand. I don't know how anyone could have predicted this. It's just such a bizarre exclusion that you can use Chase Ultimate Rewards to stay at a hotel. You can fly, you can do anything. Well, you can't do a vacation home. But the strange thing with Expedia, it has not converged. And maybe that'll be something to talk about in our predictions for 2019. But I'll give myself zero credit on this one. So that's a wrap.
Well, I have a quick question for you there, Robert. Why was your fear that they would introduce a loyalty program? I think that That is interesting.
Well, you know, I kind of like the way, like, for example, Four Seasons is just above the fray in terms of a loyalty program. Like, it's very freeing to just go stay at a hotel for sake of staying at a hotel, not because, you know, you're going to get free breakfast, you're going to get double points because it's October and blah, blah, blah. You know, I just like staying at a good hotel, having a Square experience and paying for it sometimes. So if either of these brands went down into the muck of Hilton, Hyatt, and Marriott and SPG, look at the airlines, right? Everyone is dissatisfied with every airline and every hotel and their loyalty program, it seems like it, right? It's just take, 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 make it worse, worse, worse. And it'll only get better when the economy gets bad and the hotels have low occupancy or something like that. So that's what I was getting at when I said my fear was that they would introduce loyalty programs. Like, loyalty programs exist because businesses need to incent you to stay at them. If you're a good brand, you don't need a loyalty program. So that was my fear, that they would need a loyalty program because things went south with them, and they don't. So it makes me happy that they're, for the most part, I think, still pretty good brands.
All right. Well, if anybody wants to start a new loyalty program, we're here, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's wrap it up. I guess that's it for us this year.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening this year. And thanks for Sam and the reader and listener community for welcoming me into the Milenomics team at the beginning of the year. You know, I don't think I've gotten more than a couple snarky comments from people the whole year. So and it's been overwhelmed by a positive reception from you and the reader. So it's been a great year, Sam. Great working with you. And thanks to all the listeners and readers out there.
Absolutely. And right back at you, Robert. The site would not exist without you. I really wouldn't. So I want to thank you for coming on and all of the time and energy and ideas. But I really do appreciate having you on board. And like I said, the site would not be here without you. So
absolutely. Thank you so much.
And to all the listeners, all the listeners and all of our Patreon subscribers, thank you so much for this year. And we're looking forward to a great 2019 for all of us, maybe the best year yet for all of us. So with that, I think if you want to reach out to us, you can always find us on Twitter. I'm at Milenomics and Robert is at Robert Dwyer, and we'll see you on the site.
Thanks, folks. Talk to you next year.
All right. Oh, I want to record that Chase Pay semi-failure real quick, too.
I bought gas with my wife's 5X Freedom this morning with Chase Pay.
Whoa!
I don't think there's a way to combine Chase Pay with the fuel rewards. I think that's the fundamental problem. So I don't have any fuel rewards right now, so it's not a problem. But I usually do, and so I have to pick one together.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Boy, imagine if you called either Chase or Fuel Rewards and said, hey, how can I get this to work together? It's just, or put them together, like do like a third party, like a conference call. I've got fuel rewards on the line here and I've got Chase here. Can you guys talk?
From inside the station with the guy behind the counter, right?
Exactly, yeah. Put on speaker in front of him. They're telling you to press F7. Oh, so at least you're able to make it work and you get the 5X. So, I mean, that's pretty good.
I guess so.
You know what? I'm going to keep this in the show. This is good. All right. Don't think it's gone. I think it's coming back, but we'll see when. Yeah. It's all that birthday cake I ate for breakfast. All right. I threw it out after that. I can't do it. So.
Easier because even though they have had this lifetime language out there for a couple of years, they're very all right, how do I mute this phone?
Slider
I swear
up,
I turned it all the way down.
Up, down, and then okay, so slider up down.
Uh-huh.
And then you'll see like a little bell. Uh-huh. Tap the bell.
There we go. And if it wasn't for you, the phone would have been in the toilet already.
There you go. It's a hand cell right there, right? Yeah. Yeah. I would.
That sounds like a, that sounds like a good next step. I think I'll call TD Bank one more time. Now that my bank, my account has been
the 24/7 number.
I'll call them. Yeah.
Imagine who you get on the.
You know, this business about going in branch versus call, like, isn't that the normal routine? Like, oh, you have to go in branch for this. I'm like, I'm freaking in branch and they're telling me to call, like, go home and call. Like, it's like, I've been doing holiday shopping and I go to these retailers and they're like, oh, we don't have it. But, you know, if you shop online,
you go online. They
have it. I'm like,
well, why do you even have a store?
Why? Right? Why am I at the dumb mall?
What is this? What am I doing here? Oh, everything's online. You should buy it online. Like, okay, you're fired.
That's like, it's like when you're on hold for, you know, a bank or whatever, you know, simply visit us online at tdbank.com. It's like, you.
Oh, that's funny. Oh. All right, Robert. Well,
anyway.
All right. So let's move on. Capital One. Hold on. I got a dog here that wants up.
I thought you were typing.
Those are her knees. Those are her nails on the floor.
It sounds like an old-fashioned typewriter.
Stupid, I know. We get these stupid floors. And
the old-timey typewriter goes on with the persona of people thinking that you're a 60-year-old man. Just give me a minute here. I need to take a note.
Oh, this is gold. Gold, Robert. They'll love this at the old folks' home. Yeah. All right.
Just give me a minute.
It's going to go great in my mail newsletter. Yeah.
I need a bite of Jell-O.
Jell-O. Oh, too bad we can't keep this in. We can put this in the outtakes. Yeah. All right. All right. Other news. Sandy Lyle.